My name is Zechariah. I can remember everything about that day. I had been serving as a priest before God and had been chosen to burn incense in the temple. But somehow I had known I would be chosen even before it happened. I had felt the hope and, yes, even the fear unnamed in all my chest, in my chest all morning. Even now I can remember smelling the incense and I could hear the prayers of the worshipers outside the temple, just like it was yesterday. Then a light shone. A man, but not a man. An angel. I was terrified. The angel knew my name and he knew Elizabeth's name. And he told me that a son would be born to us. As the angel spoke, I looked down at my hands, now old and wrinkled. I remembered my wife's tears on my fingertips as I had many times wiped them from her face, praying that God would give us a child, even begging him, but we were never so blessed. I remembered as the angel spoke of the promise of a son, all the years of heartache, the feelings of loss, of disappointment, and even God's silence. The angel said not only would we have a son, but he would be great, that he would lead our people back to God, that he would prepare the path for the one, the Messiah for whom we had been waiting throughout history. It was almost too much for me to bear. How could this be? We are too old. How can I be sure this will come to pass? I was filled with doubt and, yes, even fear. Those were the last words I was able to speak until I was filled with doubt. I held him in my arms, my son, John. John lived his life just as the angel had said he would. He became great. He made a path in the wilderness. He made way for God's promised one. In the temple that day, God had found me in the wilderness of my despair and doubt, in the ache of my broken heart, and he made a path for me and for Elizabeth. The glory of the Lord was revealed in my darkness. The depth of his love was shown. His promise was made true.
When I was just a girl, an angel of God came to me and told me I was highly favored. Just like that, he greeted me and told me that God loved me. The next thing he said was, "Do not be afraid." Many have asked me to tell the story. They want to know about the angels, the star, the shepherds, and the wise men. People want to know what it was like to watch my son do miracles, to teach, to touch, to heal, to die, and to rise again. To those that ask for the stories, I gladly tell them. Any mother will tell stories about her son with great joy. I have witnessed the incredible love and amazing power of our God firsthand. And I will tell anyone that asks me all about it. But I especially love when people ask me about the very first part. How the angels said God loved me and, "Do not be afraid." That's what I said to myself as I looked Joseph in the eye and told him what God was going to do through me and in me. It is what I repeated to myself on that long ride to Bethlehem and at the door of the inn and laying in the hay of that stable in childbirth. "God loves you, Mary. Do not be afraid," over and over. It's what I said to myself as I realized more and more who my son was and what his life would be like. It's what I said to myself as I watched him walk away from home the last time, as I heard the rumblings around him in Jerusalem, as I watched him be mocked and tortured. It's what I said in quiet wonder when I heard the good news that he had risen from the dead. There were times it was hard to believe. I wish I could say I never doubted or felt unworthy or afraid again. But it's true of all of us, that side of being human. That's why I like to tell this part of the story, because just as much as fear and doubt are true for all of us, the angel's words are also true. Just like Jesus came to me, he comes to you. You who are highly favored, do not be afraid.
My name is Joseph. I'm from a small town of which you may have heard, Nazareth. In that small town, my own father taught me many things. He was a carpenter, and he passed on that trade to me. He taught me things that were going to be useful and beautiful. He also told me the story about our people and of the many things that would come from our people. He proudly told me that the promised Messiah would come from our own family. Imagine that, the promised Messiah from our family. Well, of course, that high, I was amazed and felt very removed from it. I probably didn't know what he meant half the time. And I never thought I'd be a part of it. As time went by, God blessed Mary and me with a young son whom I held in my arms for the first time, as many of you fathers have held your sons in your arms for the first time. I looked down into that small face and held that tiny body and tried to understand that I was now a father. I tried to understand that this baby would become a man and I was to teach him. I was to teach him. I was to tell him the stories of our people. But I began to tell them in a much different way. I no longer felt removed from him. I felt close to him, this young son. The stories were all going to be about him, our son. I held him tightly to my chest, and you fathers know they're so small, you hate to let them go. But of course, when it came time for Mary to feed him, I had to let him go. Well, as he grew, and I did my best to teach him. Of course, it wasn't perfect. Let me give you an example. One day when Jesus was about 12 years old, we were in this big city, very much larger than Nazareth. And we were walking around this bustling community, and as many of us do, you turn your back for just a moment, and he was gone. We lost him. We were frantic. As you can just imagine, you've lost your son. We're yelling, "Joseph, Joseph." As we wandered around, finally, someone from the community knew us and knew him, and we knew we were looking for him. He said, "You're looking for your son Jesus, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, we are." Well, he said, "You know, I don't believe this. He's over there. He's over there in the temple. He's talking to these grown-up people who are masters of the scripture. And he's talking to them on their own level." Of course, we couldn't believe it. Well, I was the first to spot him, but Mary was the first to speak. Can you just think about that little boy, our little boy, your Savior, standing there talking to all these people, telling these wondrous men of the Bible, telling them who knew the Bible so much, asking them questions. They probably didn't know the answers, and certainly we didn't. Well, he was no longer a boy, but a young man. And he stopped us in our tracks and stopped them in their tracks about things that had never even occurred to anyone. And he gave answers that healed a part of all of us. He was my son. But he was more than that. I had known who he was. I felt it. I knew it. I'd known who he was. But I had not fully understood who he really was. He was my son, the son of the old stories. Yes, and he's telling a new one now. He was my son, our son, our all.
When I was just a boy, I used to play king in the fields. On those days, the rod in my hands turned into a scepter. The camel hair coat on my back became the finest silk. And those sheep, those stinky sheep, became my people, my adoring subjects. I governed, gave fine speeches, settled disputes. It helped the hours pass, but at the end of the day, I was back to being a shepherd, a little brother, a kid alone with some sheep. Not many people want my job, but it isn't all that bad. It's hard to explain, but there is something special about caring for a flock. You kind of feel like you would do anything for those sheep after a while. I fought off bears, climbed on rocky ledges, helped a newly born lamb come into this world. You get to know them and they get to know you. It's good to be a shepherd, even if it is sometimes a little boring. Once, though, I saw something so amazing. I've never seen anything like it since, and never will again. It was late at night. I was camped out watching over my sheep. Suddenly, I saw the brightest light I had ever seen. I would have thought I was dreaming, except that as soon as I saw it, I felt like I had just woken up for the first time ever. It was an angel. I fell down as soon as this happened and thought, I'm going to die. But I didn't die. Instead, the angel spoke. He told me not to be afraid. His voice was full of happiness. In fact, he practically laughed the words to me. I bring you good news. He told me a baby had been born, the Savior of my people. My heart leapt and the sky erupted. I will never be able to explain what I saw. It was all of heaven laughing and singing and swirling in worship all at once all around me. I did not think of my sheep. I didn't even look back. I went to find this baby, this Savior, this great hope. When I held him, he wrapped his small fingers around mine, and I looked down at his hands and recognized them. They were shepherd hands. A shepherd who would be a king.
Christmas, no less if we hear our grateful praises to Hello, I'm Simeon. I've loved God my whole life. I've studied the laws. I've said the prayers, and I believe the promise. I've seen God's people suffer and stray. It has broken my heart. I've called out to Him every day for as long as I can remember to save us, to send a Savior. God told me once, as clearly as I'm speaking to you now, that I would not die until I see the Messiah. And so I woke up every day expectant. I studied the law. I said the prayers. I believed the promise. Every day, though I did not see Him, I looked. Then that morning, I did not wake slowly. My eyes opened in astonishment, as though they knew what they were about to see. My old knees became new again, and I leapt from my bed and hurried down the street. All the while, the Spirit was singing in my heart like a song, "To the temple, to the temple." Everything in me knew it the moment I saw Him. It was difficult not to fall to my face on the floor in worship. It was difficult to find words to ask His mother if I could hold Him. This small baby was not what I had expected. He was greater than I had expected. How, like our God, to bring salvation in such a way? I needed nothing else. In Him, a light greater than all the darkness. In Him, a promise greater than all the lies. In Him, redemption bigger than all our shame and pain and sorrow. Sovereign Lord, it is as You have promised.
Oh, Wise men from the east saw a star appear in the night sky after Jesus was born. These men followed the star until they found them. This is one of their stories. I'm a man of logic. I always have been. I made a sensible life for myself, making logical choices, strategic moves. I learned early on, the only thing a man can count on is himself. The world's unsteady, and one can only steady it by hard work, right answers, and good connections. This way of life worked extremely well for me until I saw that star. Until I saw that thing that made no sense. I tried to make sense of it. Believe me, my colleagues and I studied the astrological phenomena in depth for many days. We deduced it could have been some connection to Israel's prophets when they spoke of a future king. Finally able to learn no more, we put away all of our calculations and packed for a long journey. We just needed to see where it led us. This was our first departure from logic. We inquired about the star to the king in Jerusalem, but he appeared to have no knowledge of the star's meaning or the one to whom it may have been pointed. He asked many questions, and we suspected he felt threatened by the prophecy, which validated it for us. It was not just a small story then, if a grown king was scared. Not just a small baby, then, if he could light up the night like sky. We continued our journey with growing excitement. We followed and let the light lead. I'd never followed anything but myself until that journey. Suddenly, as a star appeared in the sky one night, it just stopped, right over a small house. We looked at each other in astonishment. It made no sense for us to kneel down. It was not logical for us to take out the fine gifts we had brought and carry them toward that humble door until I saw that child. Then somehow it all made sense, a greater sense than me or my small knowing of small life. I repented, I worshiped, and I returned home a new man.
Thank you. And that is the question. What child is this? When did you first meet him? What was it like? How did he come to you? Was it in a quiet voice? Was it like an eruption of angels in the sky? How did you feel? Were you afraid? Were you filled with hope? So when did you first meet Jesus? And what was it like for you? This is a season we come to remember this all too familiar story. The prophecies that pointed to his coming, his birth, his life. The fact that God chose to come in such a humble way. We remember that Jesus did not live a life apart from other people or from you and me, because his life affected not only those in his time, his life still affects us today. And so, it's not just a season to remember Christ's story, it's a season to remember your story, my story, our story. The impact that he has upon our lives. Overcoming the darkness, the fears. Being there when we are in such need of hope. When we feel insufficient. When, quite frankly, sometimes we wish to hide. But his light comes. His light pierces our darkness. His light brings us promises of comfort, of guidance, of strength, of life, which we cannot have in and of ourselves, but only because of him. And so we come together, not just today, but throughout this season. We come together with all of those people: Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, the shepherds, the wise man. We come and we lean over and we look into the manger. And what we find is a baby, but a baby who brings joy and fulfillment and hope. We come and we adore. But like the shepherds, we come and adore and are called to do so much more. To go and to tell that first announcement, that first Noel, which the angels brought. And so if you would, please take a hymnal. Turn to hymn number 265. And stand as we sing verses 1, 2, and 6 of the first Noel. And just as God came and continues to come, our altar is open should you feel you wish to come.